Good morning. So good to be able to come together this first day of the week to worship our God. Songs and praises to Him. We're thankful that we can hear a portion of God's Word read, that we can go to God in prayer, been able to meet around the Lord's table to remember our Lord and Savior, been able to show our love to God by giving back a portion of what He's so bountifully given us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in therein. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and there are a few that find it." So thankful this morning for our visitors that we have. I want you to come back at each and every opportunity that you have. It was a Saturday afternoon. You and your family had been working out in the yard all day. But now the work is done. The tools have all been put away. You go in the house and fix your glass of cold lemonade. Sit back in your recliner to relax and rest before dinner. You were sitting there sipping on your lemonade. All of a sudden, there was that sharp pain went through your jaw. Your arm, it felt like it went numb. But you tried not to think much about it because you've had a hard day of work. Well, you tried to brush it off. The pain did ease up. You continued to sip on your lemonade, and then it went long till your wife called all in to dinner. You gathered around the dinner table, but you was not hungry. But you thought for the best, you need to eat something. The first bite of food you put in your mouth, it had that bland taste, not much taste to it. And then each bite of food you took, you could hardly get your breath. But you didn't tell your family how you felt. You were hurting, you were aching. Dinner is over. The children jump up and go back to their room. You get up and help your wife clear the table. The kids come back in and announce to you that they're going to the movie. Out the door they went. Your wife, she went and got her a book, curled up in the corner of the couch for evening reading. You were tired. You were hurting. You decided the best thing for you was to go to bed. Without telling your wife how you were hurting or anything, you kissed her goodnight, went back and got ready for bed. You crawled in under the cover, all the cover that you could find, because now you were hurting, you were aching, you were cold. No matter how you turned, you hurt. But then you broke out in that cold sweat. And you thought to yourself, "I sweat this off. I'll feel good tomorrow." But morning did not come. Your heart beat its last beat. Your lungs took in the last breath of air. You died last night. God has been very good to you in life. God has blessed you with a wonderful wife, two beautiful children. You thought you were on top of the world. Yes, you had been blessed. You had a very good job, long hours. You'd been the top salesman in your company for the last several months. You had your own parking place right up the front door. But you know, with all your hard work, long hours, you always found time to go to your children's ball games. Always found time to go to the school activities. You always found time to take your family on vacations. But there was something missing in your life. You had never obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. You had never put Him on in baptism. Oh, well, maybe you did back when you was a child at home, going to school. But then you went off to college. College was hard for you. You had to really study. You had to go out with your friends. But yes, you died last night. You missed heaven. You missed God's salvation. Yes, you died last night. Now what do you do? My friend, you're going to experience the greatest surprise, the greatest disappointment of anything that you ever had here upon this earth. Oh yes, you knew that someday you would die. But now you're standing there on the shore of that great gulf looking out. You begin to think about scriptures that you had heard when you was a child. Hebrews 9:27 comes to your mind, and it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Oh yes, you knew that verse. Another verse you remember where Peter says, and the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Well, you knew that one also. Do you now recall what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, where Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Yes, you knew that verse. But you refused to obey the Lord. Oh yes, you was a good man or good woman. You was a good father or good mother. No, you did not lie. You did not steal. You did not murder. You were just a good, honest person. And yes, you obeyed the laws of the land. But in Matthew 7:22, Jesus says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name done many wonderful works? But then look what Jesus says in verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, how sad it would be to stand before God in the day of judgment and hear those words spoken to me. Well, you are now standing there on the shore of that great gulf, thinking, you thought, well, I thought God was a God of love, God of mercy, God of compassion. But now you're wondering, how could this loving God do this to you? Yes, you lived your life here upon this earth to yourself. You were all wrapped up in self. You worshiped at the altar of self. No, you never saw the hurt in the eyes of God. God did love you. But you know, Last evening, when you were having the hurt, your pains, you ignored those signs of your physical heart condition. And through life, you had ignored all those signs of your sick spiritual heart when your family and when your friends tried to talk to you about Jesus. You ignored those signs, but you died last night. You know, God has always been very serious in His instructions that are written in His holy word, the Bible. In 1994, I retired from TVA, started driving the tour bus, went all over the USA, up in Canada. But you know, before I left to go on a trip, I'd take out my old trusted atlas, chalk out my roads where I was going. Never found a time that this road atlas was wrong. Oh, yes. I missed some turns. I got turned around. But I always made a U-turn, went back, got on the right road. Today, we'll all make mistakes. But we've got God's Word that will help us and lead us in the right direction. The road to heaven is not an easy road. It's a difficult road. But we got to stay focused on God's Word to get there. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Well, you're standing there on the shore thinking. Your family comes to mind. And now you're thinking about that beautiful needlework that your grandmother had worked so hard on, gave to you on your wedding day. You had it hanging there in your den. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Yes, you saw that every day. But now you are thinking, can God see me now? Can God hear me now? I don't want to be in this place. But did you ever read from Isaiah 59? Verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Yes, my friends, our sins will turn us away from God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? In Galatians chapter 3 verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Yes, My friend, you was rejected by God. Not because God did not love you. God loved you with all His might. But you see, God rejected you because you turned away from God. You rejected God. I love the story in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins. There were 5 that were wise and there were 5 that were foolish. They went out to meet the bridegroom. I don't know how long the bridegroom was late, but I know that he was very, very late. And these 10 virgins, they were tired. They were sleeping. But at midnight, there was that great cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. And you can just imagine now the confusion that was there. These 10 virgins, they jumped up, began to check their lamps. But the foolish virgins, their lamps had gone out. They had no oil. They asked the wise, said, would you give us some of your oil? Our lamps had gone out. They said, not so. We don't have enough for us and for you. Why don't you go out to the merchants and buy? So out the door they went. These 5 wise virgins, they continued to trim their lamps. They went in with the bridegroom. And verse 10 says, and the door was shut. No one else could come in. These 5 foolish virgins went long till they came back. They found the door shut, and then they began to... And then they began to cry out, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Sad words that came ringing back to them. Yes, the Lord answered and said, I know you not. How sad it would be in a day of judgment for they are born to stand before the judgment of God and hear Him say, Dale, I do not know you. We need to live each and every day close to God, putting Him first. Well, you're standing there on the shore thinking, don't do much good, but you are so frustrated at yourself because you would not listen to what your family and friends would try to tell you back in life. But as you stand there, you now realize that you are not alone. You begin to look around and there is people all around. And as you look a little closer, you see faces that you recognize. Man over there, he worked at the bank where my dad done his banking when I was a kid. I remember him. This man over here, yes, he worked at the garage where my dad took his car. Another feller could be a lawyer, politician. This sweet lady down here, she was my 5th grade teacher in school. You think, why? Yes, people from all walks of life that you knew. And then, as you look a little closer, sinners of the worst kind are there. In Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Yes, these are your friends in eternity. Well, as you think, can't get much worse than this. Then you look around, you see the devil and his angels, and you think, hell was not prepared for me. Well, no, hell was not prepared for any one of us. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus says in the latter part of that verse, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But yes, there's where you are now. But I love John 14. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and get you, that where I am, there you may be also. Great promise that Jesus has made to each and every one of us. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus told Peter, he says, I will build my church. We come on into Acts, the second chapter, and we see where Peter preached the first gospel message. My friends, God has built the church to give me, to give you a place to help us in our life struggles. We all have struggles in this life. We need each other very desperately to help us get to heaven. Yes, God has built the church to give us a place to help in life's pathway. God has built the church to help give me a place to keep me on that straight and narrow road, the road to heaven. But you know, in life, it's not the big things that worry me of going to heaven. I don't have any plans of killing anybody. I'm not going to rob no bank. Those are the things that are least to my worries in life. But as I go through life, I struggle sometimes with my attitude like we all do. Paul writes, my attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:5. We got to be careful each and every day of the small things in life that will pull us away from Christ. I need to watch. Don't want to be puffed up with pride. In 1 John 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, these are not of the Father, but these are things of the world. I've got to be careful of my tongue. I want to be pleasing to God. I don't want to go about gossiping. I don't want to hold a grudge. Yes, it's easy sometimes for us to hold grudges. There's times that people wrong us. There are situations that hurt us. But you know, even God does not always do what we think He should do. And then we get angry at God. This should not be. We need to put our full trust in God. We need to be people who will be forgiving people, loving people. God has blessed each and every one of us with another opportunity to come together. We have this opportunity that we can make our lives right with Him. It's not easy to live the Christian life, but it's a joyful life. Life can be taken away so quickly from any one of us. And this morning, as one of your shepherds, it's been a joy for me to serve this church for the last 6.5 years. I look forward to the days ahead that we can work together to be closer, united together. But I know this morning that there are those in our audience who have never rendered obedience unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have never confessed the sweet name of Jesus. You've never been baptized for the remission of your sins. What? I know you know what to do. But why are you waiting? This morning there are those in our midst. Many of you, most of everyone, have obeyed the gospel, you're walking close to Him. But number one, is God first in your life? Or is there something else that is first? Is your family first? Is your job first? Is pleasure first? Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 37, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Yes, we love our families, but God must be first. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He went to Calvary's cross, gave His life, and shed His blood that you and I, as sinners, would have a hope of heaven if we'll follow His will. This morning, if you have a need for Jesus, I beg you, would you this morning let Jesus have His way with you? Would you accept Jesus and put Him first? This morning, if there's any way that we can help you in any way, we stand ready to assist you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?